From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
This Monday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio. This morning, Ole Miss takes 2 out of 3 from Tennessee, losing Friday and then outscoring the Vols 16-1 after Tennessee's 6-run inning on Friday night, winning 7-1 on Saturday, 5-0 on Sunday to keep pace. 2-1 works every weekend, as we talked about on Friday. Really a missed opportunity in the opener, but they get it done the next 2 days to avoid a bit of an early disaster with Tennessee in town. So we'll talk some baseball today. Also today, or tonight, at the Pavilion is the public introduction of Kermit Davis. My mic continues to just go in and out still right now as I'm talking. 5:30 is when that is. You can go, and doors open at 5. They're going to give away, I think, some food, some T-shirts, some different things with that public introduction for Kermit Davis. Middle Tennessee season ends last night. Louisville knocks them out at the Yum Center in the NIT. Whatever round that was, the quarterfinals are up next. So
it was the second round.
Okay, so quarterfinals up next. State plays Louisville, and somebody else plays somebody. I don't know. Who cares? Anyway, all those things brought to you today by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. It's Swayze Field all weekend. I heard about the bottomless refill. It's 49 cents at any Blue Sky location in Mississippi to get a full fountain drink. Quit your thirst there with the Oxford Exxon on Highway 6 West. Also, maybe the ribs. Maybe you go to the Kermit Davis thing tonight. You're leaving. You don't have dinner. Stop by. Wet or dry ribs available for pickup there at the Oxford Exxon. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900 is the number. You call that number. You ask for Corey Clark. You tell Corey what new Ford you are looking for. And he sends you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. It's right to the bottom line. There's no haggling. It's just a very easy car buying experience. And at the end of which you get your quote, and then you can do. It's up to you. You can shop it around, or you can let the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other listeners of our family of podcasts. That's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. We'll make it even better. Tell Corey near the end of your deal. Say, hey, I heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention any of our four podcast, and it's $500 off the bottom line on your deal at Clark Ford in Amory, 662-257-1900.
My humanitarian thought for the day or the week or whatever it is, and I didn't watch a ton of college basketball over the weekend, but I watched some. I watched more golf than basketball, but I saw a good bit last night. Saw a good bit Thursday and Friday, I guess, in the opening round games. But kind of keying in on Nevada and Cincinnati last night, can we stop showing the crying kids in the stands? What is the purpose?
I don't know. I hate being this guy. I'm a basketball snob. The play is not good.
Yeah, that's not my point.
Yeah.
I don't really care about that.
I think it's because that's all that they can't focus on the basketball because the basketball is not good. So they do all the crowd stuff to try to generate drama. But when they show the little kid, like the little girl that was cheering for Tennessee the other day when Tennessee went down, and they're showing her just sobbing, it's like, for the love of God.
Yeah.
It's just a little girl. If you're going to do that, then 10 minutes later, show me the picture when she's perfectly fine having a Coke and some chicken fingers at the restaurant down the street, and then at least balance the damn thing out.
Yeah.
She's fine.
Yeah, like, show me all those happy kids. I'm cool with that. Show me Eric Musselman's daughter last night.
Sure.
When she was all ecstatic after Nevada beat Cincinnati. But they honed in on this one kid for Cincinnati for 7-8 different shots of all of about 5 seconds to 10 seconds apiece. It was just strange. Every time there was a break in something, they went back to this one kid that was cheering for the Bearcats. And I don't know. I didn't have much taste for it. It kind of bugged me as I was sitting there watching it because, I mean – anything else, the winning team, the
sure.
losing team, they're on
sure.
the court at least. That's
show them,
fine.
Show the players.
Yeah, that's
coaches.
Cool. I tell you, another awkward thing is, and I mean, 2 seconds here. Cincinnati's walking off that court last night, and they're walking by the Florida State players. A really odd deal there with Florida State just kind of looking down at their feet going, oh, well, man, bye, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of a strange deal. But bracket chaos. I'm the person that probably has lost my my wife's tournament pool, as I did not fill out a personal bracket, but I filled hers out, I guess, Thursday morning early. She was like, hey, can you look at it? I was like, yeah. And I'm glad I looked in general, because she had forgotten to save it. So there was no picks in whatsoever when I opened it up. And I just quickly went through there and kind of listened to what David said. And I had Villanova against Virginia in the finals. Well, obviously, Virginia went down to Maryland, Baltimore County in the opening round. And had she picked it, she would have picked Kentucky to win. Isn't just an emotional thing. She's a Kentucky fan. She would have picked Kentucky to win. And
I like their chances.
Well, that's what I'm saying. All of a sudden, that bracket has fallen out of chaos. They're the 5 seed. The 1, 2, 3, 4, and 6 going out of that bracket. Kansas State up next in the Sweet 16. So the Cats are probably headed to the Final Four. And then in the other side of the bracket from Kentucky, the 1 and the 2 are already gone as well in the semifinals. So things have incredibly opened up for a John Calipari team that's not exactly one of his best.
It's not one of his best, but they are one of the more talented teams in the tournament. It's what strikes you when you watch. I'm basketball snob. Everybody can get mad at me. I don't watch much college basketball during the year because I don't think the product's particularly good. It's not officiated well. They have trouble making shots. It's hard to watch. When you watch a lot of NBA, it's hard to watch the college game and not just focus on the lack.
Well, it's two different sports, frankly.
It is. It's two different sports. But Kentucky, when they start shooting, and they're shooting pretty well right now, they most resemble an NBA team because they play an NBA style and they have NBA caliber players. And right now they're really good.
Why? And it's not really a criticism. I'm curious at your thought process here. Why do you think college basketball gets criticized compared to NBA more than the other sports criticized to their professional counterparts? Because obviously they're not as good in any sport or anything. Right. Like we don't look at high school football and go, well, the play sucks. Why don't anybody watch it? Like, what's the difference really? Why?
I don't know. I think because the college game. I think the college basketball game, they've gone back and forth. They fought this one-and-done rule, and everyone's doing all this stuff. And so there's a debate that goes on. You know, I mean, now if you took – it would be interesting to see what would happen if you completely eliminated the one-and-done and let kids go pro like we should do and just let them go pro right away. Some of the teams that made the tournament this year probably wouldn't have made the tournament, but I don't know. I think – I don't know. It's a good question. College football to NFL football obviously is night and day, even stylistically. But the product can sometimes sort of, at least at the high level, sort of look similar. It's not the same thing. It's a gourmet hamburger as opposed to a hamburger at Jack's, but it still looks like a hamburger. The college game compared to the NBA game, sometimes it doesn't even look like the same game.
See, I think it's flow more than even shot making or ability. I think it's simply the whistles for the most part and the lack of any sort of rhythm up and down the court.
The only thing I'll say to that, and I've watched enough where I'm jaded. Carson was in here yesterday and we were watching. I was working on 10 Thoughts and he was watching the Kansas State UMBC game.
Okay.
And he was laughing at it because he had just earlier in the day watched Raptors Thunder to its conclusion, a game that was 130-something to 120-something. And then he watches.
So he didn't play any defense.
He watches
me.
That. He goes, no one can shoot. No one can shoot. And I'm like, well, you know, you just got through watching DeMar DeRozan and Paul George and Carmelo Anthony and Kyle Lowry and Russell Westbrook and those kind of people. And
you're watching the whatever the conference Maryland, Baltimore County's in their team.
Yeah, you're watching two teams that can't shoot.
America East,
they're,
I believe.
6 minutes without scoring, you know, and kicking the ball all over the place, and I'm like, it is a totally different game. The one thing, and I wrote this in 10 Thoughts, and I've reached this conclusion watching as much of the tournament as I've watched, and I've watched more than I usually watch. You can turn a program around quickly. One recruit turns it around. Two recruits completely change it. The whole it's going to take 5 years to rebuild? Nah.
Nevada has five transfer starters. Every starter is a transfer.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't subscribe, and that's where the tournament's probably been good for me. I probably would have said going into this, hey, you guys are going to have to be really patient with Kermit Davis. It's going to take time. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying they should go to the Sweet 16 next year. But you can turn it around pretty quickly. Look at Syracuse. This weekend a year ago, I wrote this in 10 Thoughts. I don't know if you saw it. This weekend a year ago, Syracuse lost to Ole Miss in the second round of the NIT. At home. They lost to Ole Miss in the second round of the NIT. They're in the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
And I know they're Syracuse and they're a blue blood program, blah, blah, blah. But it's still five players on a court.
It also shows just how lucky you can get in a tournament setting, because I saw somewhere where Syracuse is potentially the worst offensive team to make the Sweet 16 in the last two decades. Their offensive efficiency was in like the 300s, and they're in the Sweet 16.
They struggle to score, and they run into Duke again, and Duke just beat them by 40-something the other day. Duke looks awfully good.
For whatever that's worth.
For what it's worth. Duke looks really good. They're physical. They can beat you in a lot of ways. I was shocked yesterday at how soft Carolina looked against A&M. A&M playing up to their ability for the kind of the first time they waited.
Still without dudes.
Yeah, waited till March, but the two bigs are really giving them stuff, and then they're making shots.
Little hangover for Carolina. I saw somewhere that only one national champion the next year had reached the Sweet 16 in like the last 11 years or something. That there's Florida, when they repeated, is the only one to do whatever the thing was that they have not done.
I think at any level, it's one of the things that we probably don't give enough credit to the Patriots for. At any level, pro or college, just coming back with the same intensity year after year after year is hard. You see it all the time. They're one of the few organizations that's able to just kind of maintain a consistency.
Yeah, that's fair. So, I don't know. I mean, it's we have the same debates every single year. The tournament is more fun than necessarily technically skilled or anything. You know, close games don't mean good games, but close games are fun at the end. That's what everybody likes seeing. And, you know, where'd you fall on the dude from trying to be the fun police today? The Twitter account for Maryland Baltimore County.
I thought it was fun. I laughed at it, but I wasn't one of the people locked in on it. You know,
I thought it went overboard when it repeatedly called out multiple people individually. Like, at some point, you're the 16th seed, dude. Chill.
Yeah, some of that is just Twitter culture in general. Yeah. Everyone does that in your face.
And it's odd that I had that opinion, because typically I don't mind the official accounts having some personality, whereas a lot of people really get annoyed when the official accounts taunt or do anything sort of negative toward other people or entities.
I don't like it when they go after the other team.
Yeah.
You know, they obviously picked on Seth Davis, and like Seth Davis's shtick is the Sharpie.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess he set himself up for it. But when people act like Seth Davis writing Sharpie as the game gets tipped is the end of the freaking world, like Seth Davis did something wrong, come on. It's just basketball. It was an upset. It was a monumental upset. But, you know, people have been saying for a while that one of these is coming, and there it was. And eventually, you had to think it was coming. I was impressed with Bennett's kind of class after it was over, just, you know, life lesson and all that stuff. The people that, I think it was 40, who just excoriated them about, ripped the program apart. I'm like, come on. It was a basketball game.
There's a lot of people that have that opinion that Virginia's style can't work in the postseason. And I've admitted this 1,000 times. I know nothing about basketball. It's still basketball game, so why would that even be the case? What's the argument for that?
It's ridiculous.
I'm
sitting here watching a tournament where there is no homogenous style that works.
I do get that slowing the game down to that, and from a scoring standpoint, right, does allow one guard for another team to get really freaking hot over 5-6 possessions and give you trouble. I get that. But no one in the ACC did it all year, so it's still basketball. Why would that style not translate? I don't know.
Nonsensical. It's still a basketball game. The tournament puts everything under a magnifying glass, but it's still basketball games. You have to make shots. Virginia didn't shoot particularly well. They didn't handle UMBC's pressure particularly well.
And then they freaked out.
Yes. Doesn't change the fact that they, a week earlier, won the ACC tournament.
One of the best regular seasons in history.
In a one and done. And if you love the tournament, you love the one and done portion of it. In a one and done, anything can happen. You think Virginia is going to lose a 7-game series to Baltimore County?
Yeah, no shot.
It's 4-1. Game two would be a mauling.
Yeah.
A mauling. It's one and done. And so when the hot take writer does the overkill on stuff like that, it just, I don't know. I guess they're told, hey, going in, hey, have some hot takes. So blow up the program based on one game?
Well, the tournament is a hot take tournament, yes, if you will.
It's one and done. Anything can happen in a one and done.
Best team typically does not win.
Usually the hot team, the team that gets a draw, like Kentucky sitting here at this point with.
Kentucky could not be pushed into the finals.
Yeah.
Could.
Their path is. They're going to beat. They should beat Kansas State.
Then they get Nevada or Loyola.
I think they'll get Nevada, and Nevada's good enough to scare them. But I like their chances.
And suddenly you're in the Final Four.
A&M and Michigan, I kind of like A&M in that game. Florida State, Gonzaga.
I'm still not convinced A&M can put multiple games together in a row just because they haven't all year, but maybe so.
They're just controlling the paint. Clemson, Kansas is not particularly interesting. I'm looking for games that are interesting. West Virginia, Villanova.
That's interesting. I kind of like West Virginia a little bit.
Duke, Syracuse is interesting in name only. It's a blowout the last time they played. Texas Tech, Purdue, of the games, is the least, from a name standpoint, appealing and maybe the best potential basketball game.
Even though Purdue's probably without Isaac Hayes.
Yeah. Of course, he didn't play yesterday, so he's got a chance to get back. The NCAA would not approve the brace that he needs.
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
What was wrong with the brace?
Probably was the wrong color, or didn't match the marketing schemes or something.
I'm a little surprised they were cool with Steph Curry giving shoes and stuff to Maryland Baltimore County.
I know.
I was a little surprised that was okay.
Saw that.
Although I did see, too, Maryland Baltimore County receives $0 from Under Armour for its apparel contract. They simply get some discounted stuff.
And that's probably how they were able to do it, is by them saying, hey, we're an Under Armour school. It's Under Armour stuff.
Yeah.
The fact that an Under Armour guy is giving it to us, if you don't let him give it to us, well, they're going to give it to us.
Yeah.
Good for their kids. Their kids, that's what the tournament should be about. They played two games. They walked off the court last night. I'm sure they were a little sad.
Because they were sort of in it for a while.
They were in it late.
Yeah.
They were a bucket away. A couple of plays where Kansas State scored in the final second of the shot clock. Otherwise, that deals a final possession game. So.
Then Florida State knocks out Xavier last night. Yeah. Okay.
I went to bed with Xavier up 13, 14, about 11 minutes to go. I said, I cannot stay awake any longer. And like I wrote, if Florida State comes back, F it.
And they did.
They did.
Well, the collapse was Cincinnati. Did you see the
– Xavier, you mean?
No, Cincinnati. Oh, when they got beat by Nevada. Oh, they were up 22 with 11 minutes to go.
Well, I did hear the score, and then I saw that they'd come back, and I guess I
– Yeah, you didn't see, like, the percentage flow chart thing?
No.
It goes, like, all the way on the bottom, and then all of a sudden it just does this and crosses each other.
I did.
They were up 22.
I did a Peloton class and then walked the dogs. And so there was about an hour and 45 minutes there where I was kind of out of the loop, and it was during that time.
Oh, gosh. Well, anyway, enough for the tournament. We'll talk plenty of that as the week goes on. Again, game starting again on Thursday, but for Ole Miss, Kermit Davis introduction, the more basketball-relevant topic to today. The podcast is brought to you in part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscapes. Been telling you for a while, podcast listeners get two special deals you can take advantage of with MasterCuts. Either a pressure washing job with $50 off on a square foot of more than 2,000 square feet, or if you sign an annual contract, driveways and sidewalks pressure washed for free. I've been telling you also that you don't realize just how dirty they are until you get them washed off. 662-607-7773 or mastercutslawn.com.
Everybody knows State Farm for being the number one insurer in auto, home, and life insurance. But did you know State Farm has a bank which allows them to do auto financing? Recently, State Farm has had a rate reduction in their commercial insurance rates. So give Romero Miller State Farm a chance to compare your business insurance policies. If you own a rental property, Romero challenges you to give him a shot at that property. You won't be sorry. If you need another reason, go to Google, read Romero Miller State Farm reviews. If you have insurance needs in Tennessee or Mississippi, or you just want to compare quotes, which you should, call Romero Miller State Farm, 662-893-1212. Podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you are a business with a high-ticket product or service, it's HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, etc., Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application. With rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580, they will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown at 443-935-5013. Ben is waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today. The podcast also brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys with more than 60 years of combined experience, more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their website at msbnkr.com or by searching for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. Superlawyers only selects the top 5% of lawyers in the state. Gambrell & Associates handles Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. So for more information, call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford at 662-281-8800.
So, okay, quickly, we're on the topic of NCAA tournament. Here's the updated odds to win the entire thing from Odd Shark for those that have an interest. Duke is now the favorite at plus 325. If you bet 100, you win 325, the way these numbers work. So everything based off $100 bets. Villanova plus 450 in second. They were the number two team before the tournament started to Virginia. Now they are number two to Duke.
They've looked good.
They've just had a little tougher draw left than some other teams. Circumstances of the draw, the number three spot is shared by Kentucky and Gonzaga at plus 700. Odds still not great, but okay.
That's not a terrible bet right there on Kentucky.
The Cats?
Yeah.
Yeah, Gonzaga's not as good as last year. I don't necessarily like the Bulldogs, but
no.
Michigan plus 800. You think they're out in this next game, so.
I mean, they could win. I do like the way A&M's playing.
Kansas plus 850.
That's not a horrible bet. They can score, and that damn Malik Newman.
He's found it a little bit, hasn't he?
I don't get it with Mississippi State. You had him. How you couldn't make that work? If I'm a Mississippi State fan today, I'm not getting into all the what happened and stuff. If I'm a Mississippi State fan today, I'm questioning Ben Howland. How could you not figure out a way?
He'd help.
He's a high volume. Help. You put him on the Mississippi State team this year, they're in the tournament today.
And you mean today is in,
I mean,
still
in the
alive.
16 today. I've watched enough of this thing. No one can score, man. That kid can score. He can score from anywhere on the floor. Now, I know there was a lot of weird stuff with Courtney Cronin and his dad and all the people involved. But at some point as a coach, can't you figure that out?
Then here's some long shots if you're curious. If you'd like to throw $5 on them or $100 or whatever your financial ability is, West Virginia or Purdue at plus 16. Nah.
I mean,
we're getting into a weird spot now where they're just not good enough, I don't think.
If Purdue were healthier, maybe.
He just might be an intriguing one, as crazy as this sounds. Texas Tech plus 2,200.
Yeah, that's not a
At those odds, I don't think they're winning, but at those odds, that's not the worst thing to throw a little down on.
I mean, if you threw 20 bucks on that, that's not the end of the world.
Texas A&M, Clemson, and Nevada are all at plus 2,500. Kansas State plus 28, Florida State plus 4,000, and then the two way down the line. Shows you what they think, what Vegas thinks about those offensive numbers for Syracuse. Loyola Chicago plus 5,000, Syracuse plus 6,600.
Oh, if you told me that I could either have Loyola or Syracuse, I'd take Loyola.
Yeah.
Syracuse's draw is just Duke next, and they're not going to win.
No, they're out. It's not.
Yeah, they're not going to win. Loyola will do a few things.
What conference are they in?
I don't know. Their game with Tennessee was actually a pretty intriguing game.
Yeah, I didn't see any of that because of baseball. Yeah. I didn't catch any of it.
They played with Tennessee. And then obviously won at the end. But they played with them the whole time. That was not a fluky deal.
Ole Miss baseball showing some mental resolve over the weekend. Tied 2-2 on Friday night going into the seventh inning. Tennessee takes advantage of an error on the second batter, ends up loading the bases. Ole Miss gives up two extra base hits in a row. A six-run inning is the result of it. Rebels fall down 8-2 at the time. They come back with a four-run bottom of the seventh but can't get any closer. Lose 8-6 to a Tennessee team that's not going to win a lot of games in the SEC, at least. I mean, they're going to go 5-25 or anything, but they're not overly good after watching them for a weekend. Come back the next 2 days, though, and really dominate after having to go to bed after a loss for the first time. The pitching took over. Brady Feigl was outstanding again on Saturday. James McArthur, another shutout start on Sunday. Ole Miss has had two series in doubt when McArthur has taken the mound, and he's thrown 11 combined shutout innings in those two starts. But you know, Ryan Rollison was okay Friday night. He wasn't the reason they lost. He wasn't overly dominant. He was just okay. A lot of people have talked about, well, do you move him? No. You do not do anything to mess with his mental psyche. He's not bad. You're not taking him out of the rotation, so leave him right where he is. He was fine. Fastball command still not there. Late in the game, I thought the breaking ball kind of got lost a little bit, but
it was 2-2 in the seventh.
Yeah,
he'd done his job.
It was 2-2 in the seventh.
He had done his job.
That game was lost with some defensive plays throughout the game, and then Ole Miss scores two in the bottom of the first and then can't add on. They let Garrett Crochet for Tennessee settle in for four or five innings when you had a chance to get rid of him, and then that game probably turns into a blowout if you get into Tennessee's bullpen in the third or the fourth inning. So that's where that game was lost. But Ole Miss 2-1 on the weekend, 4-1 on the week. They're not going to fall in the polls or anything today. They'll be fine. They do have two huge –
the polls matter.
Well, good point.
Yes.
In one of the 7,000 polls.
Exactly.
Whatever will happen. They have two huge weekends coming up, though. They go to Texas A&M Thursday, Friday, Saturday in College Station. A&M smarting a little bit coming off a series loss to Auburn where they had to win the finale to avoid getting swept by the Tigers. And then Ole Miss comes home to play an Arkansas team that had the most impressive opening weekend of SEC play, not just sweeping Kentucky, but beating the holy crap out of Kentucky for three games in Fayetteville. So Ole Miss, A&M, then Ole Miss, Arkansas, and then Ole Miss heads to a Mississippi State team the fourth week who got swept by Vanderbilt over the weekend. So we'll see.
Buford might be Anko 3-3 these next two weekends. He'd probably take it.
He'd be very happy with 3-3, I believe, the next two weekends. And I now, if you told him anything less than 2-1 in Starkville, he'd like to play the games.
Oh, State, sure.
State's just not playing very well right now. Sure. They can't hit. Pilkington's really good on Friday night, but otherwise they kind of are what they are a little bit, and it's not. As we talked about, there was a reason that Cohen was fine with letting Gary Henderson just take over and run through this thing for 56 games and let it be what it is. So I don't know. Parker Kiraci again really good yesterday. He throws three scoreless innings late to allow Ole Miss to get out of Sunday's game. Ole Miss hit three home runs yesterday as well. They didn't throw Dallas Wolfolk. A lot of people asking about this. He was going to pitch when it was 3-0 on Sunday, and then when it went to 5-0, Mike decided not to do that and save him for a later date. He'll probably throw an inning on Tuesday just to get some work in, is my guess, when they play UNO. The school day game is at 11 o'clock Tuesday morning against New Orleans. So, kind of the situation there. Looking around the SEC, let's see. Vanderbilt yesterday, 4-3. Again, they swept Mississippi State. Florida wins 3-2 to take 2 out of 3 from South Carolina in Columbia. LSU, 7-5. They take 2 out of 3 from Missouri in Baton Rouge. Georgia wins the finale, 6-5. I think Alabama ended up taking 2 out of 3 from the Bulldogs in Tuscaloosa. And then, as I said, Texas A&M, 5. Auburn won, but Auburn took the first two and won the series. So that's kind of where we are.
Pretty nice weekend for Auburn there to get 2 out of 3.
Huge.
In case they were wondering to themselves, are we for real? Getting 2 out of 3s.
Yeah, because that's that
positive
team
indication in that regard.
Riding a couple pitchers right now, obviously might have the number one pitcher in the country, and then getting enough momentum. Because offensively, they're not great, but you get a little momentum rolling and a little confidence, and all of a sudden, hey, you're a little better than you might be on paper or in the talent department. Because I don't really believe in momentum, but I do believe in confidence, and they're pretty confident right now. So we'll see. But nonetheless, I guess kind of it. Vanderbilt's a lot of prospects. I'm not sure what kind of baseball team they are, but they out-talented Mississippi State all weekend. Really shut them down on the mound. I don't think State scored for the first 16-17 innings of the series. So
Vanderbilt's going to have arms.
Yeah, they threw some freshman that had like a 1.4 ERA yesterday. I mean,
they're going to have guys who can really throw, who are professional prospects up and down their pitching staff.
Yeah.
It's the way that he's built them, and he takes advantage of, frankly, some loopholes, and I'm not criticizing him. Good for him. I would too. But they always have a collection of guys who can throw hard and who can throw strikes.
It's a perfect coach for a perfect spot. He's probably a little overrated, but he knows how to manipulate his position very, very, very well.
He does, and he's also a very good marketer of his program in his town. And
in a way, they've kind of become Nashville's baseball team. And even though their attendance isn't great, just from an interest, from a sort of community involvement standpoint, they've done a really nice job of integrating with Nashville that Vanderbilt football would kill to have.
Oh, for sure. And he's created an environment where when he goes in on a high school pitcher, they at least listen. He can kind of get in the door on almost anyone.
We've got a lot of dudes played in the pros to show them.
Sure. Man, no, he's done a great job.
It's an Alabama football kind of track record where you just go, hey,
yeah,
David Price, Sonny Gray, my dudes.
Sure. Where it's not really about – I mean, the odds are they're going to make the tournament. Odds are if you go to Vanderbilt for 3 years, you're probably going to host a regional at some point. Got a decent chance here the last few years of getting to Omaha. Pretty good. Pretty solid program. And, again, they're going to throw hard arms at you all the time, one after the other.
Kermit Davis being introduced at 5:30 tonight. His team looked a little distracted last night. Can't blame them.
The NIT is such a weird deal. You just don't really.
Well, Louisville showed up and kind of gave a crap last night for some reason.
Louisville appears to be just genuinely pissed.
They played really well last night.
Kentucky winning has probably motivated them to win.
Yeah, a lot of Louisville Twitter accounts were really focused on Kentucky's draw all of a sudden yesterday.
Yeah, I watched some of the game with Middle, and Louisville just played better.
Yeah, I watched almost all of it.
Louisville played better.
Middle made a couple runs, but every time they made them, Louisville hit the shots, and I mean they were into it. There was no lull or flatness with Louisville whatsoever last night.
No,
that might be as sharp as they played all season.
So they get State in Louisville at some point.
State hit a buzzer beater to beat Baylor in Waco.
Yeah.
At like 9 a.m. yesterday morning. Game was played really early yesterday. Yeah. I think the Baylor women had an NCAA tournament game yesterday, maybe. What?
Oh, just the NIT cracks me up.
Well, no, did you not know that was the biggest game of the day yesterday? Did you not see that?
No.
It was the biggest game of the day.
Who said that?
I don't think in those verbatim words, but there's a lot of excitement.
Oh, God.
Big things for years to come. It's really just setting up next season, Neil.
I will say this. There are few things that bring out the worst in our field other than the NCAA tournament. There are few things that bring... I actually sent messages to some people with, stop! Inside the Rivals Network. Stop.
It's about your buddy from Illinois.
Him. He blocked me right away. There were others. Texas A&M.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh.
The Illinois dude has done that for a long time. I think I've actually had words with the Illinois dude before when something happened about something.
I mean, outwardly recruiting for the Illini.
Against other programs, too.
Yeah, against Missouri.
Yeah, Missouri.
And then when someone says, you're doing this about Missouri, oh, how would you know? Come on, stop.
A little plausible deniability guy when it's
I didn't say
obvious.
Missouri. All I said was, you saw my, you can't do it this way. You can't do this. Stop. But, you know, that's on Rivals, frankly. Rivals lets these people get away with it, and it does paint the rest of us. It's a shame, but it does. You're as good as your worst, as your weakest link, and boy, we had some weak links. They showed.
What's the first 30 days of the Kermit Davis tenure requiring?
Well, he's got to sort through this transfer market. I think anyone holding his feet to the fire on high school kids in late March, early April, you're not being realistic. I'll be curious to see what happens with the guys that he had signed to Middle Tennessee. Do they get released? And do they come to Oxford? Does he do that? Have they worked out some sort of an agreement there? He's got to get in touch with the kids, and I'm sure he already has, that were signed with Ole Miss, figure out what's going to happen there. I think Sorrell Smith's gone. I think Zach Naylor's gone. That's what I hear from multiple people. The other couple, there's the one kid from up at Maryland, up in Baltimore.
Anthony Higgs.
Anthony Higgs, who, frankly, Ole Miss is his best offer right now. So there's, you know, he's got to sort through all of that. And then he's got to go in and he's got to recruit the kids on his roster. And you have to be careful here because you're a different kind of coach. You know, he's hard nosed. They're going to run a very disciplined program. You've got to have guys bought in. You can't do the kiss your ass game for 2 months and then kill them. So
you kind of got to kill them from the start. You got to be who you are.
Got to be who you are. And if they don't want that, you've got to let them go. And that's not what fans like hearing. Believe me, my email indicates that, but it's the truth. And if that sets you back a little bit.
Players can't see a fake person.
No. You've got to step in and go, here's how we're going to run this. I want you to stay. I think if you stay, it will benefit you.
Yeah.
But if you can't handle that, okay.
Here's what I expect.
And if that means letting a Brian Tyree go, letting a Terrence Davis go, that's what you do.
Devontae Shuler, maybe.
Whatever. You got to start your program. Because the truth is, you're going to get one shot and only one shot to start this. And if that means you dip heavily into the transfer market, so be it. And I have, for the people that think I'm hinting at something, I have no idea how Terrence Davis or Brian Tyree or Devontae Shuler or Bruce Stevens or anyone else feels one way or the other about Kermit Davis. No clue. I would assume those conversations begin today. Because the kids were out of town last week. There might have been some phone conversations, some text conversations, but the first face-to-face conversations probably happened today. Busy day for Kermit Davis.
I would assume Kermit either to bring his own vehicle or flies down this morning and then full day ahead.
Yeah, I would assume they fly him in this morning. He's got a full schedule. They can probably arrange a loaner.
Arrange a loaner? Yeah. Figure that out at some point.
They get the car down eventually. He's not a lot of driving.
Actually, it's Middle's car, actually, I'm sure. So, actually, no, you leave the car in Murfreesboro and come get one down here.
They can work the cars out.
Yeah. Somebody got some wheels for Kermit.
I'm sure somebody,
down
maybe
here.
Even a Clark Ford's got a vehicle they can make happen.
Yeah.
No, he's got a lot to do. Starting, I mean, I'm sure last night was an emotional night. It is for almost any coach at the end of a season, especially when you're leaving your program. They got back from Louisville, I would assume, fairly late.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sure he's up this morning and You're about to hit it. And I'm sure that today's the day that the excitement kicks in. You know, there's been a lot of...
All the talking to your middle kids and stuff. He talked about this. It's such a mix of emotions until today. And it's not in a negative toward his former guys, but you can kind of put all that away now.
Yeah, it's over.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Today's a fun day. Today's a good day.
Today's the good day. The other day was emotional. Leaving a program where he's been for 16 years.
Yeah, today's your wedding day. Yeah. Now you get the honeymoon period. Yesterday, now you got to get to work, but you get the honeymoon period.
Last night was an emotional loss, I'm sure. It was a very good team that won a whole bunch of games together. A group of seniors that won more than 100 games together. Or right at 100 games. I can't remember the exact number, but they won a bunch of games together. So
yeah,
I'm sure
they won at least 100. I saw that.
He said goodbye to a bunch of kids that mean a lot to him. But you get those goodbyes out of the way last night, and you get up today, and I'm sure today this is an opportunity that he's been waiting on for a long time, that a lot of people around him think is long overdue, and it starts now. And again, you get one shot to make that, not a first impression, you get one shot to start your program off on the right foot, and you have, he's a guy that, as evidenced last night, there was a kid who missed a class or something, and they didn't take him to Louisville. And he talked about how, I read the quote from him, he hated to do it, but he's always built his program on that. And you don't stop now. And so those core principles have to get started right away with these kids. You can't spend a month kissing their ass to get them to stay and then expect them to follow your rules. Got to put the rules in, and if they can't handle that, even if it sets your program back a little bit temporarily, that's what you have to do.
Yeah.
So he's got to – I would think one of the things their staff's doing – first thing he's got to do, he's got to finalize his staff, and I still don't know what's happening with that other spot. But I would think that they're going to be one of the programs that's going to be heavily into the transfer market.
Take a quick break. Take the podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Settle County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis Street and local underwriting and understands your market. Also a leader in condo financing, and you get the float down option. Allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. 662-234-2704 or JLOW, J-L-O-W-E at communitymtg.com.
The podcast is also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based RE/MAX Legacy Realty agent. He is also the sponsor of my 10 Weekend Thoughts, which is up on the site. They got up last night, I don't know, 9:30 or so. They're up at rebelgrove.com, part of the rivals.com network. You should check that out. Harry, no one knows the residential and condo market better than Harry does. Go to his site, it's harryalexander.com. He'll prove it to you. It's don't you love when someone calls you? They call you, Chase. You send them a message that says, can I call you later? And they say, yes, who is this? People are stupid.
You mean because they said yes before they asked who it was?
No, I mean because you called me.
Oh, gotcha.
And I send you I can't take your call right now. Can I call you later? Whoever that is.
Oh, you don't know them either.
No, I just hit one of the standard replies.
Oh, I gotcha.
Anyway. People are nuts. Anyway. HarryAlexander.com. Send him an email, ha@HarryAlexander.com. Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. It's just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Go in, test drive one today. Tell Gene and Sandy you heard about it on the podcast at rebelgrove.com. You'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. Ole Miss Athletics, you should know, Rebel Nation, that 2018 is the year of the fan, and Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often, so be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com. The podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with a live person. There's no 10 buttons to push. There's no 5-minute wait. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa. And with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
A couple of these polls already starting to funnel out. I see, looks like number 7 in Baseball America, that's up 4 spots, and then in Perfect Game, up to number 5, and don't quote me on this, I'm probably forgetting something, but I'm really weird and I'm pretty good at these things typically. I think that's Ole Miss's highest regular season ranking since being number 2 in 2008 in the last 10 years, I think. I think they've gotten to number 6 several times. Obviously, they finished number 3 in the final poll of 2014.
Yeah.
But I think in the regular season, that's the highest they've been since 2008, if I'm right. So, because the 2009 team wouldn't have got that high, I don't think, because they weren't even a national seed. So I don't think they ever – maybe they did, and I'm forgetting something, but that would be the only one. I think since 2008 is the highest ranking. They were up to number 2 in 2008. I do know that.
Well, then odds are that's about as high as they've gotten, because there's not much place you can go from there. Yeah,
yeah. The 2009 team would be the one I'm not 100% sure about.
That was Biddle and them?
Yeah, it was Pomeranz, Biddle, Morgan, Baker.
They had a little run somewhere late in before Biddle got hurt, where I can't remember where they got in the polls, but I don't think they got to 1 or 2.
You don't?
I don't think so.
Well, I mean, anywhere 4 or higher would be still higher than now, though. So, do they get to 3 or 4 is the question.
I just can't remember. They had a little run where they were super hot. And at one point,
on May 11th, they were number 11. I'm actually kind of flipping through some press releases. Yeah, I don't think they did. They beat a lot of top 5, top 10 teams, but I'm not seeing where the official site really did a lot with their record, showing their record. So, what are you Googling over there?
No, I was doing the same thing. I don't think they got that high, because that team,
they were number 7 on May 7th, 2009.
I was getting ready to say, for some reason, the number 6 sticks out in my mind.
They were number 7 after they took that series from number 1 Georgia, I believe. Remember when Biddle actually threw his last game of 2009 and they beat Georgia?
For some reason, I think they jumped to 6 after that, Chase. And then, you know, I don't think they got higher than that.
Yeah, they were number 7 when they played State. Let me check one more thing, just because I'm curious. Yeah, I'm not sure. That's all I'm kind of seeing here. So,
I don't think they got that high.
All right, Rebels in the rankings. This is from the SEC tournament opener in 2009. It says, for the 6th straight season, Ole Miss opened the year ranked in the preseason polls. Currently, the Rebels are ranked as high as 7th and appear in the top 8 of all the college baseball polls. And that would have been after sweeping Arkansas to win the West. So I would think that'd be as high as
they would
have gotten. So
it's hard to get a lot higher than that. So, yeah, but I think that's so, well, good for them. Look, again, I mean, the people that Friday night, everybody freaks out, you're going to lose some games in the league. Going to lose league games. It's going to be about when you have opportunities, and maybe Friday night was one that they didn't take advantage of, but when you have opportunities to pad yourself a game, you got to take them. But Tennessee's not going 1-29. They're going to beat some people. They're going to find a way to win a handful of games. It's baseball, number one. And it's number two, it's just.
I was pretty impressed with the composure of that kid from Tennessee on Friday night. I mean, the Ocean Springs native. Baseball is so circumstantial with recruiting. But in a couple of years, you probably look up at your state and Southern and Ole Miss and go, yeah, really wish the circumstances would have been different to be able to figure that out a little earlier than I did.
Well, like you said, they had a chance to knock him around early. And when you don't, sometimes a pitcher goes, man, I escaped. And then he calms down.
Yeah, and he was,
and then he gets into enough of a groove.
I didn't mean it as a negative. Like, someone goes, oh, you're talking about the kid. I really wasn't. I called him kind of a training wheels SEC pitcher. But he's a true freshman that doesn't walk anybody, but doesn't necessarily hit his spot either. It was one of those control versus command things.
Oh,
where
everybody's got to get less sensitive. He's not a dominant Friday night SEC starter.
No, for Friday nights, he's the guy you'd want to face.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to face guys like the kid at State who's really good, Pinkington, yeah. Mize, who's the best pitcher in the country, perhaps.
Brady Singer at Florida, who might be the 1-1.
Yeah, I mean, you're facing those kind of arms on Friday night in this league.
So, we'll see. I don't know. Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, had a good weekend.
See Jonathan?
I did. Saw Jonathan on Friday night.
Did you?
I did. At Henley.
What'd he make?
I had two drinks there. I had one that I can't remember the name of, something Bell. It was a bourbon drink. It was fantastic. And then he fixed me an old fashioned. That was the best old fashioned I've ever had in my life. It was just phenomenal.
Why?
It was just, as someone who tries to make them here and tries to make them, and I have them most everywhere I go, and I've had some really good ones, it was just better.
What do you do wrong, then, do you think? What did he do right that you don't do?
One thing he does different is for his sugar, mm-hmm. he uses a brown sugar simple syrup.
Okay.
And he makes it where it's equal parts weight, the sugar to the water.
Okay.
And it was just smoother.
Okay. Speaking of Jonathan's, congratulations to our podcast bud, Jonathan Randolph. He and his wife gave birth to a son March 15th, Boyd Clement Randolph, born. Everybody happy and healthy. So congratulations to Jonathan.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
I think came a couple weeks early from the last time that I had talked to him. I hadn't talked to him in a couple weeks, I guess, since he was at Torrey Pines. But anyway, he was home and got to experience that, obviously. So good stuff for them. Not much else really going on at Ole Miss right now. Spring football starting to kick back up this week after the spring break time. All the students are back, so chaos ensues.
We haven't gotten a schedule yet. I would assume Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday is the schedule. I think the Saturday – don't hold me to this because they've not updated it. I think the Saturday practice is open to the public for those of you who are in town and looking to go to a practice. But I don't know that yet. I don't know times. We don't know anything. Frankly, we both have scheduling conflicts on Saturday, so we're trying to figure Saturday out ourselves. And it's talking about 60% chance of rain, so it all might end up not mattering. So anyway, we'll update the football thing as the season goes. As the week goes, I don't know right now. I would assume that media relations is focused on tonight, and then we'll go with – hell, football might be open today. If it is, I don't know of it as we tape at 8:54 in the morning. I've not gotten an email to – tell me that, so I would assume today's not open.
I have no idea.
I have no clue.
None. I mean, tomorrow on the podcast, we're going to have David DeLucci. He made his SEC Network debut in the studio over the weekend for transparency purposes. We actually taped it on Friday, so he's going to mention some lead-up stuff, but it really takes nothing away from the conversation. I talked to David for about 20 minutes about college baseball. We talk a lot of Price is Right since his wife is a he gave tips on how to get on the Price is Right if you're ever there and actually getting chosen.
I had a cousin who was the first person called when they started the show.
Yeah.
And she never got off contestant row.
Well, that's not good.
No, that's bad.
Yeah, but no, we talked. Had a good talk. Talked 20, 25 minutes. A lot of laughs about that. Talked to him a little bit how they balance family life with both of them gone all the time with their child. So that and more.
We have a special guest coming on Wednesday. I'm not going to jinx it by saying it. So
we'll see.
Guest coming on Wednesday. Then we'll hopefully get something with some of the new basketball people as the week goes on. I don't know what their schedule is. I'm sure their schedule's nuts.
You were out of pocket then as Tiger made his run yesterday.
Well, I was kind of getting ready to turn to it when someone was kind of on Twitter kind of like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, hit a ball out of bounds or something. And
something
that
happened, and I went, oh, okay, well, then never mind.
Had a chance to get you there for a second.
I was following.
So Rory McIlroy runs away with the tournament yesterday. It's good as I've seen him play. He hasn't won in 2 years on the PGA Tour. Had been terrible on the PGA Tour leading up to yesterday. And Jeffrey had been telling me for a couple of weeks, hey, he's a light switch guy. It's going to click. Just waiting on it to click. And, well, I definitely say it's click. Here's a little stat for the stat heads. Strokes gained putting has been tracked on tour since 2004. Neil, strokes gained putting is basically how you are versus the average average pro on a particular hole, and then accumulate it out for the whole tournament, okay?
Okay.
So here are the players to win a tournament while leading the field in strokes gained putting, driving distance, proximity to the hole, and scrambling, meaning ability to get up and down from off the green.
Okay.
That's what scrambling means.
Okay.
Okay? Those All four right. things. Here's the list of people that have won just a tournament in those four things, leading and winning the tournament. Rory McIlroy this week. That's it.
Really?
Since 2004.
Wow.
Yeah. So you could say he had the most dominant tournament from an all-around ability. And he only won by three shots, I think. But
where did Tiger finish?
T5, 6, 7, I don't know, somewhere in there. It's getting there. I mean, he was one shot off the lead for the second week in a row and then made a mistake. I think anything, maybe his mental game is not where it needs to be versus his physical game. I think the physical game's there.
Well, he hasn't been in contention in years.
Then here's your humor if you'd like it, if you'd like to bet on the Masters here in a few weeks. Rory McIlroy yesterday morning was 16-1. Last night he had fallen all the way to 9-1, so I guess risen. He and Tiger Woods, the favorites at the Masters at 9-1 as of 8 o'clock last night. I wouldn't actually put money on either one of those at those odds, but there they are as the favorites. Dustin Johnson, 9-1 as well. Justin Thomas, 11-1. Jordan Spieth, 12-1. Justin Rose, 14-1. Jason Day, 18-1. John Rahm, 18-1. And Phil Mickelson, 20-1, leading off your field of favorites.
And that starts
April 5th.
So 2 weeks.
Yeah, a couple weeks.
Yeah. Major League. So it's a week after the day that the Major League Baseball season opens. Cause baseball season opens next Thursday, the 29th.
Yeah, Tiger Woods, who still is outside the top 100 in the world, is a co-favorite in the Masters at or ahead of the number one player in the world and the reigning FedEx Cup champion. But
yeah, and that's too much to ask of Tiger.
Same results by any other name, and you know, good story.
Well, I mean, you can't be happier for the guy because he's figured out a way to get his game back to a place where he can play.
Yeah.
Because he had gotten to a place where he couldn't play.
And Tiger was never going to be that dude that played every week and finished 60th. If he couldn't compete, he wasn't going to play.
Yeah.
It's like all those dudes at the top. We've talked about this. It's win or really nothing for those dudes. They don't need the money. They don't need the tour card. It's how many trophies and what can I do for basically my legacy and my competitive juices every week. That's
it. Yeah.
I mean, Tiger's not going to be real content. He goes, well, you know, I finished T42. They sent me a check for $61,000. That's good.
Nah. That's like asking when a Clayton Kershaw starts to lose it.
Yeah.
Hey, come be a guy that comes out of the bullpen. Nah, I'm good. I'm going to quit. When you've been great and you stop being great, I don't think you can play anymore. You kind of give it up. When you've always been a journeyman, I think you can hang on and be a journeyman for a long time. I'm not criticizing a journeyman because I'm not. That's not a knock. It's just a. But when you've been a superstar,
yeah,
and you stop being a superstar, I don't know how much more you want to play.
For a guy to tell you earlier, the podcast also brought to you by Tyson Drugs, TysonDrugs.com, and now they also have a spot in Oxford for you. They've taken over G&M Pharmacy on South Lamar, where they deliver local and give you great hometown service. To give Tyson Drugs a call, 662-252-2321, or again, TysonDrugs.com.
Guests join our show on the Billy's Pecans Hotline. Billy's Pecans knows the perfect crunch for every palate. They're the best place to handle all of your thank yous, whether it's a gift to a corporate client, presents for a staff, tokens of goodwill for a referral. From 5 to 5,000 orders, they'll handle it all with expertise and excellence. with their signature Southern styles and with items at every point, price point. You simply can't go wrong. Consider the assorted gift bag, the party trio, the pecans and chocolates. You can customize your packaging with your company or organization's logo affixed as a sticker to Billy's Pecans round boxes so your brand is front of mind and their decadent flavors are right there to back you up. Homemade treats, easy ordering, professionally packaged, shipped fresh and direct. It's the process of doing business with Billy's Pecans, and it couldn't be any more satisfying. It's billyspecans.com, B-I-L-L-I-E-S, pecans.com, or 1-800-624-7404. The Moonlight Grahams will be playing Saturday, April the 28th at World Music Nashville in the Bellevue area at 7 p.m. The Moonlight Grahams are a folk Americana band started by Ole Miss grad John McCann. Tickets are $10, which includes a digital copy of the new album. The digital download cards will be given to you when you arrive. You can also buy your tickets off their Facebook page or on TicketZone.com. That's TicketZone.com. Make sure you get your tickets before they sell out. You'll absolutely love it. Remember, the new album, The Moonlight Grahams, is out on Spotify and iTunes. Make sure to follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And if you like them, spread the word. Saturday, April 28th, World Music Nashville at 7 p.m. You don't want to miss The Moonlight Grahams.
Last major poll has now come out as well. Do you win baseball? Ole Miss going to number 5 there also. So top 5 by 2 of the 3 polls that we sort of kind of look at. And then number 7 by the other one. So Ole Miss highly regarded headed into their big series with Texas A&M Thursday in College Station. And reminder, 11 o'clock tomorrow, the school day game. New Orleans, UNO, I'll save my soapbox for another day about kids and foul balls and hope for the best tomorrow. So we'll see.
Luckily, Carson won't be at that. He gets his braces tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah. So his mouth will be sore, but at least it'll be something that's somewhat
won't productive. Be wired shut from a baseball.
Terrifying, isn't it? The Bay Bears used to do those, and I couldn't stand to watch. And in Mobile at the time, and it might still be this way, the netting was just insufficient. And balls screaming off of professional bats. Just into the stands. And the kids, no one's paying attention. Terrifying.
Well, no, they're not paying attention at all. They're eating a peanut butter sandwich and looking around and listening to Miley Cyrus or whoever. And
you know, I had good seats to a Cubs-Mets game last year in September at Wrigley behind the third base dugout. And I normally, when I sit in a place like that where I'm not protected, I watch. But Carson was texting me, and I had looked down to text him back and literally had one go over me a couple of rows, and I thought, so easy. It could happen to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And kudos to Major League Baseball. They have fixed it. At least somewhat. They have every ballpark in the country in the league has extended the netting.
How far?
I'm not sure. A good ways.
At least better.
It's made it better. Anything's better than nothing.
Yeah, of course.
Because there's some of those areas that are so close to the plate that there's nothing you can really do.
Well, it's like I get asked all the time, you know, what would you do if you didn't cover the team? And I was like, you know, I like baseball. Whatever the local team is, I'd watch. But especially with kids, I'd get seats behind home plate, behind the net that goes all the way up. There's no doubt. I wouldn't even think about it.
No question about it.
I'd spring for the more money for the net, for the seats behind the net.
The people that do the argument, well, that impacts my vision. So your eyes are different than everybody else's because your eyes adjust like in a second.
Yeah, the nets are so different than they were.
Yeah, it's you don't even see them.
They're these like double pane things now that you just see it. Yeah,
you
whatever.
Just don't see them. It does not impact your ability to see the game.
Texas A&M falls to number 12 in the D1 baseball poll after a 1-3 week. For those that are
gonna be
curious,
pissed. Yeah,
they're gonna hang that top 25 up in the dugout probably.
Yeah,
it's gonna make a big difference. My opinion. So, all right, we will be back tomorrow. Again, David DeLucci will join us. We'll have some reaction from Kermit Davis's introduction tonight as well. So we'll talk to you then. Check rollgrove.com in the meantime.